we are going to be looking at something very important. And I thought to remind us again that 2025 was a year for more. And because the reminder is going to be relevant here, in that 2026 the Lord gave us a further push by calling it a year for much more. So we're still in the third month. Of course, the first quarter of the year, with a number of months to go. And I thought to remind you of the resolutions that you had from the beginning of the year, so that you do not forget that there are things you said you will do that you have not done, or you are doing, but it probably needs some much more effect. So I believe the Lord wants us prepared as a church for the glorious seasons ahead. And He does this by preparing us through His Word. He does this by preparing us through His Word. Of course, I like the way Kenneth Hagin puts it. God is preparing us for what He has already prepared us for. So, there's an ongoing preparation for what was already prepared, or what He has already prepared us for. So that means we have a responsibility to module our lives in what He is preparing us for. Now, if you're not writing, I want you to look intently at me, so that I'm sure that you're not pressing your phone, which I believe you are not. So He's preparing us for something that He has already prepared us for. And we started a conversation last week, or last 2 weeks. We looked at the Holy Committed Assembly, right? Okay, turn to the person sitting next to you and ask the person, are you listening attentively? I just want to be sure. Okay, so we started a conversation for the past 2 weeks on the Holy Committed Assembly. Then later on, we narrowed it a bit down to, what did we look at? Let me see if you remember. Okay, what do you remember? Okay, the deeds of a committed man, right? Okay? So those of you who don't take notes in church, I'm sure it's quite interesting. But then, I want you to take notes in church. Are you listening? You know, there are times where the Lord tells me something, and I'm like, Lord, I remember. And he just tells me, go write it. So I've come to appreciate lots of writing. It's way better to write than to assume your memory is good enough to keep what is said. And that's actually not true. You will forget. Just give it a few more days. Even sometimes 24 hours, you ask somebody, what did you learn? Commitment. Sort of. So, you're supposed to write. And write well. I remember going for a meeting and I mean, someone saw my notes. This was like, wow. So you have to learn to write and write well. Are you listening? So we started on the committed, the holy committed assembly. Then we moved down to the deeds of the committed man. And today we're going to be having a conversation around that. I believe strongly that it's going to come together. Now, I had the title of the teaching when I was done making preparations for the teaching. So I'm also not going to tell you the title because we all are supposed to be in the same soup. Right? So I was like, what am I going to title this? Okay. Nah, it doesn't fit. So I was like, okay, let me just allow. So when I was done, I said, oh, okay, yeah, this fits well. But I'm going to give you a snippet of what our title is this Sunday morning. And we'll take a journey on this particular conversation. This teaching, if you would open your heart to it, one of the things I prayed about is that what comes to you should have the power to change. Not all teachings are powerful enough to change. Of course, it has to be anointed by God's Spirit to be able to change. So I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, this teaching has to change. So if you're going to listen to me and what I teach you today, boy, your whole life will be blessed. Now, I mean it when I say it. And we're going to look at it. We're going to have a general conversation this morning. And of course, my intent is to lay a good foundation on which our next communication can sit on. So today, I'm just going to be laying some good foundations. You know, when you're going to build, you need to lay some good foundations. You know, those who never laid good foundations will have their buildings sinking when there's an issue, or the building cannot stand. So the foundation needs to be well laid. That's why as ministers of the gospel, a very good foundation is so key for ministry. And these are basic foundations like prayer. It looks like it's not necessary. Because look at how difficult it is to stand there. And you are screaming to somebody you don't see. You know, one time I went to the field to pray. And I was praying and somebody else was praying. So I stood there. And I looked at the person very quietly. And the person was praying, you know, moving around, praying. So, myself, I was pitying the person. Because I was saying, because I saw the beauty of that art. It's a very supernatural thing. And I believe that God, upon seeing us, feels that same way. You know, sometimes I say that, of course, all of us, right? Maybe you may not, but sometimes God borrows you his emotions. Like he borrows you some to see things the way he sees it. So while I was there, I didn't know what came to my mind. I just saw him just standing there, pray. I was like, wow, prayer must be faith. Because number one, it was not very warm. It's quite cold, a bit moist at dawn. But then he was standing there in the shower. He can't see the person he's talking to. 2 hours, but he's still talking. 1 hour, but you are still talking. Lord. I mean, when you say Lord, somebody should say, I'm here, my son. He said, Lord, where are you? He said, you have to listen to him from somewhere. Now he's somewhere, but he's not in what you do. Right? So, it's quite interesting. How did I get here? Foundations. So, there are foundations. Foundations. Like the leading of the Spirit. It looks very simple, but is a key foundation to be a minister of God. Because how are you going to do his work without his leading? And it's not just that you don't have his leading, but it's that you need to know what his leading is. Now, it's not just for ministry as well. It's for life in general. So, they are important foundations. If these foundations are lost, boy, you are in trouble. You're sunk. So, we're going to be looking at something that is very foundational for your life and for the ministry. I told you I wasn't going to tell you what the title is, but then we're going to see the title. So let's go to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. So like I said, I'm just going to do some foundational conversations. In Romans 16 verse 12, Paul is ending his letter. And then he acknowledges certain people who had been working in the church. But then he calls out the names of two people. In fact, while I was getting ready to teach this, I was asking, Lord, what should they hear? Then he said, Tryphena, Tryphosa. When you don't read your Bible, you will not know Tryphena, Tryphosa. That's how he speaks. So when I was reading Tryphena, Tryphosa, they want Tryphena, Tryphosa. I was like, Tryphena, Tryphosa, Tryphena, Tryphosa. Then he now says, stop wondering, go and look at what I'm trying to tell you. So I had to go and pick my Bible, Romans 16 verse 12, let's go. He said, salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Then he now says, Persis, which labored much in the Lord. So, of course, you can tell that we're going to be having conversations around labor or work. Right, so there is Tryphena and Tryphosa who labor. Then there is Persis, who labors much more. Bringing me to a conversation on reminding you that 2026 is that year where we do much. So in our labor, we are going to be ensuring that we pay attention to to laboring more. Now, I don't know about you, whether you want to be a Tryphena and Tryphosa who labors, or you're going to be a Persis that labors much more. And you see, Paul was intelligent, right? To say that there's one that labors, then there's another that labors much more. Do you see the distinction? So can we say that our labor can be, you know, put in categories? Of course, there can be labor. Someone who labors. There's also someone who labors much more. And of course, whoever that labors is worthy of his wages or his pays. So, there's labor, then there is much labor. Then there is, he says, they labor much more in the Lord. So, we're going to be taking out the words labor, then much more labor, then much more or more labor or much labor within the context of the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we're going to be having conversations around labor, which is work. And I'm hoping that I'll be able to exhaust that. We'll comb around it. So our hearts are clear. And so we also know what God thinks about labor. You know, reminds me of something my grandma, I think she celebrated her birthday a few days ago. And she used to tell me, she said that, man, she used to call me man. Can you imagine? That's quite small. She used to say, man, you will not die, eh? You will not die. Work will not kill you. You know, that's because, she was at that time, you know, like a headmistress. So, but then she had a farm. And so after school, she goes with us to the farm. It was a maize farm. So we go to the farm. I'm not intended to work because I'm a grandson. First grandson, you know, your head is sweet. Like they give you everything you want. So it's not like hard labor. No, but you know, she said, man, I have to work, eh? Work will not kill you. So, I never understood why. I think I loved her more than anyone else. You know, that grandma you love more than anyone else. How many of us have grandma? We love them more than even our mothers. Like, our grandmas are very special. Okay. The rest of you are mothers and babies, boys. Okay, but I'm actually a grandma's boy. Yeah, top class. Yeah, she can call me till I beg her not to call me. Alright, so she used to tell me hard work doesn't kill. And of course, she meant it well, not taking it out of context where you work your health out. Alright, but she just told me it's not good to be lazy, that's all she was trying to say. You know, so I grew up having that mind. And I'd like you to ask you a few questions I put up for you, and that's going to help. Like I said, I'm just going to be laying some good foundation for our further conversations. And so I'd like to ask you a few questions, and then these somewhat will form your opinions about work or labor. You answer it to yourself. You won't tell me. It's a Sunday service. I would have given you a microphone. But I give my, no, Sunday service, we don't give microphone. Unless it's prophesying. Say, I see in the realm of the spirit. Say, yes, please say. So question number one, where did you get your first ideas about work? And how were your attitudes to it? Where did you get your first ideas about work? And how were your attitudes about it? Did the adults in your life portray working as a burden or as a privilege? You know, some of us had dads who, when they are preparing for work, I mean, not me, I'm just using me to explain. They will complain, when they are wearing their clothes. It's like, even when you look at their face, they are frowning. Like, they are going to work. And then their facial expression of work is like, hey, if you cross me, I'll... you know? So, did your dad speak right about work? Did he put up like a very good work culture example to you? Okay, you say, okay, I don't have a dad. Okay, what about your mom? Maybe her job, her business. Did she attend to it with a lot of joy, a lot of enthusiasm? Like, she wakes up every day excited. Or she be is that what happened? So, you know, those things are going to form strong opinions to you about work. You know, I remember I was a child and I said to my grandma sometime, I said, if I grow, I'll tell you what I said. So, what were their actions? Were they happy? Were they gloomy? Were they excited? Did they complain? Did they see it as joyous? Something good. Or it was very bad. Where they make you feel like work is so tedious. And it's unbearable. If you had a granddad like mine, he put up a very good example of work. 4 a.m., 4:30, 4:35, he's already awake. His clothes are ironed. When you pass by, it can cut you. True. You know, he's seated at his coffee table in the morning, has hot coffee, gets to work very early on time, shoe well polished, you know, for many years. I mean, he put up something very good, rather than having a dad, yes, Junior, pick my trouser for me. Pick my trouser for me. So you say, daddy, where's your trouser? Check. I really don't know, check. But daddy, what were you doing yesterday? I don't know, check. You know? Is he wearing me black shoe, no? So before, when you have that, you look at him and you're like, I think this thing is really scary. Right? Some of you also were doing certain works. Like, when he comes back, you have Aboniki. He said, Junior, but hey, mommy. So you are known to press. Then when you press it, Achish. Then you say, Achish. Ehona. Yeah. So you saw work, you're like, nah, I'll prefer not to work, right? And like I said, it forms very strong opinions about you. Alright, we're moving on. More questions. I'm asking you, so answer them. To yourself. then when you answer them to yourself, look at your life. Mm-hmm. That's where the problem is. Because of course, parents 50 years, 60 years ago, or maybe like 40, parents who are about, let's say 50 plus, I'm sure most of them had good work cultures. Can you say that about your children? To your children? More questions. So if you grew up in a church, did you ever hear messages that value or that put value on work, or it was just spiritual matters? See, like, we are here like this, there could be a lot of spiritual matters. Koboko oil, coconut, watermelon service, apple service, like one service after the other is spiritual, spiritism, spiritual. Your grandmother is doing your mother. So like some people grew up in such environments. It's just raw spiritual. Like anything natural, they see from the lens of oil, something. You know, you break things at night. Red oil, black oil, you put on candles, you know, so, and that's very dangerous. So, you know, sometimes people will never hear something related to work. Don't work. Labor. Something called labor. So there's an environment that does not, you know, perpetuate that. Where good works, such as serving others, volunteering, and demonstrating kindness, encouraged in a wholesome way. Is this something that's encouraged? You know, you even meet some people who are in level 200, and then you say that, oh, why don't you volunteer for this job? They tell that, no, I should pick my car and go and work for people and come back. They will not pay. How much are they? Level 200. You can't take a volunteering job. You can't do something. Like pay your own money, go and work with your strength to learn something that is very important to you. And everything is just about money. What do I have? What do I get in this? What should I do? No. I mean, what's my cut? So you see that many of the times our environment shapes the way we see work. When I see people who work hard, I love them die. Like when I see somebody who works hard, who knows how to labor. Now I'm talking about labor in every area, whether it's your academics, whether it's your job, whether it's the ministry, whether it's whatever it is you're doing, a business. It's very important. Very key. Environments, even where you are sent to labor, you find out that there are complaints all around. They complain about their bosses, complain about the pay, complain about the work environment, complain about what is not being done for them. You see people grumbling all around. Do not pay. They will not increase their salary. You don't work. Why should they increase your salary? I don't think there's any genuine hearted boss who sees that you put in a lot of work and will not give you something. You see? You don't think so. But you don't probably work as you should. I always received tips when I was working. Always. I barely spent transportation on anything. Yes. Always. A lot of money coming in from different places. As a pharmacist, somebody comes there, you say, oh, this woman, she talks too much. She talks too much. But what is your work? What's your work in there? At that place or at that space? What's your role in that place? Is it not to listen to people talking? Also? You don't think so? Yours is just to be collecting money. I mean, we'll cast too much. Yes. So you're saying, work environments do not paint the right picture about work. Now, worst of these kind of individuals are those, you know, who despise work. while settling for, in quotes, the grace of God. The grace of God. By the grace. But rather, actually, grace teaches us to labor even much more. So, what role has society, your environment, painted to you about labor? You know, you should even be sitting in service and sleeping short. The message we are preaching right now is totally, it contradicts. See, air condition 27. It's too small. If it was quite lower, then you can say, oh, maybe the churches. No, nobody's sleeping. But how can you be sitting in church and sleeping? It means you are lazy. You see that? There's a work, there's an ongoing work you must partake of. So, we are gonna build that strong culture. You see, there is nothing that God is going to build with us if we don't have this in place. God cannot build even the church if we don't have this in place. Your life cannot be built if you do not have this in place. You know, Tony Cook, who was a medical doctor, who gave out some findings on social media. I just wrote a few of them. He wanted to ascertain man's thoughts about work. So, he put out a question, of course, via social media, asking people to help him come up with a list of songs about work or employment or labor. You know, and he allowed both pro-work and anti-work. And you know, the results were actually interesting. You know, he got to realize or recognize they were much more negative work songs than positive work songs. Like I said, there's a pro-work, then there is anti-work. Now, just for a few more interesting things people said in the lyrics of these songs. And, you know, there was one that said that he was called Late. The song had strong emphasis on working like a dog. And most of them were in those classes. Like, you work like a dog. And if I give you a beat right now, I'm sure you'll be able to pull some lyrics on working like a dog. Another had very strong emphasis. In fact, a lot compiled together had strong emphasis. It says, take it, I'm not working no more. The famous Dolly Parton, in Working 9 to 5, says, he spoke about how that he barely gets by, and she's being used, not receiving credits for work, not receiving a desired promotion. Another had strong emphasis on, I don't want to work. Just want to lay in my bed. You know, Ten, who is a famous pop singer, you know, had also some interesting words. Let me read it to you. Said, you load 16 tons. What do you get? Another day older. and deeper in depth. That's not your story, you see. Because by the time we're done, you'll get to know what God thinks about this concept. You know, another says, don't call me, I can't go. And I won't come to work early. You know, you hear things like, certain monkey the work, and baboon the chop. How many of you have heard that before? This church, we are not a Gen Z church. No, I mean, we are Gen Z, but we are not a Gen Z church. I'm very far away from Gen Z. Can't you see my notes and all of these things? I'm not Gen Z pastor. I'm a pastor full of the Holy Ghost. So, but not Gen Z. We are not. We are Jesus Christ's people. Are you listening? But when you go into the world, you are with Gen Z. So you see that there's a lot of songs, a lot of, you know, negative thoughts about work. You know, those are easy to find. Easy to find. Everybody has something negative to say. Or many people have something negative to say. Even your friend, when you start to work, like you start to really work, the person will be looking at you like you are some special person. Or you are like a wondrous person. How many of us have gone for evangelism back to back, back to back, back? Then someone sees you and you're like, the person saw you and you're like, why? Why? Or you are praying, then they are wondering like, what is it? You go to class, then they are like, I mean, this class, we've been going, sir, why don't you skip some? You skip PLP and all of those things. You just skip all of them. You only go for biochemistry and all of that. Are we going to buy into their mind? Are we going to buy into their mind? Don't feel like you need to be pitied when you labor. Are you listening? And of course, I'm not talking about labor that lacks direction, labor that lacks purpose, labor that lacks, you know, good intent. I'm talking about labor that is with purpose, labor that is with direction. That's very important. So, if we pay attention to what God wants us to do, we're going to see the culture of work the way He does. And if we apply Paul's admonition, of course, to not be conformed to this world, we're definitely not going to pick up what is in the world, what is of the world. Now, it doesn't mean man shouldn't make things easier. That's not what I'm saying. There's just a point in your life where things need to be done and done rightly. And that's called work. That's all. Are you listening? So whatever it is that makes it easier is not wrong or is not out of its place. So that I'm not misunderstood. So, we ought to be careful about what the world perpetuates. If you ask, not in this church, some ladies outside, maybe not in another church, outside ladies, it's very serious. You know, I've always been like a church person. It's very serious outside there. Like, no lady wants anybody who doesn't have money to do something. But you know, or you don't know. You know. They see and they look at you like this. Say, you, your type, I have your type, 10 of them. You know? Oh, this is, they don't want you. If you don't have a car today, house, They just want to go to the beach. Relax somewhere. Order for whatever, shawarma, those things. You buy them iPhone, what? See them nodding their head like this. Yeah. There's a lot like that in the world. Who doesn't believe what I'm saying? You don't believe what I'm saying. You should try the world. Like, I'm not saying try the world, I'm saying, no, just go and ask and see something that's happening. Yeah. But you are not like that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You're not also lazy in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So, I'm hoping that in our conversation, we get to see the value of work. You know, and to celebrate a lot of work. Activity that is channeled towards the fulfillment of a specific purpose. Energy that is channeled towards the achievement of a specific purpose, and of course of a good purpose. Don't think I'm against the grace of God. I'm so not against the grace of God and the unconditional, unfathomable love of Jesus Christ. I'm not against it. In fact, I celebrate the overwhelming love of God more than I do in any area of the faith. No, just, this morning I was just there and I just had tears rolling down my eyes. I was just thankful for his love. So I do. But when it comes to that place where I have to roll up my sleeves, get something done, I must get to it. Are you listening? So I celebrate the love of God, the grace of God, the things that are given to us freely. I believe that. However, I want to make it known that God's grace giving us or poured out to us doesn't make our works irrelevant. No, doesn't make our works irrelevant. However, his grace enables us to do work or works that are beneficial to others. And in the long run, we bring glory to his name. And yes, when it comes to the conversation around salvation, we are not talking about works here because you are not receiving the grace of God or you're not receiving salvation by works. And because you didn't receive it by works, it cannot be kept by works. If you didn't receive it by works, it cannot be kept by works. It's only kept by the one who gave it out. It's the free gift of salvation. And that's what he gave us. Because Ephesians 2 verse 8, for by grace are ye saved. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. That's what it is to us. So I understand that very well. Like I said, I'm trying to lay out some foundations. So we're not talking about salvation and works, salvation and being saved. No, that one, let's allow Jesus take the glory for that perfect work which he did on the cross when he was crucified for our sins. But right afterwards, this gift we receive will be expressed in works, good works, labor. And you know something interesting? God has always taken his works very seriously. Just as Jesus, his son. And we together have been invited to work with him. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9. For we... Okay, I think this should be a congregational read. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9. Can we read together as a church? Great. We are what? Some version says God's fellow what? Workers. I have it, you know, in my version as laborers together with God. Fellow workers. Now you would think he's actually now not doing anything. But Paul is writing to the church in Corinth and telling them, we are God's fellow what? Workers. So we're going to be working together with God. Laboring with him. Fellow workers. Not fellow sleepers. Fellow workers, not fellow entertainers. God's fellow workers. And we're doing this together with him. How can he be working and we are not working? In fact, in Mark's account, it tells us how that the Lord accompanied them, working with them. He worked with them. He accompanied them. Immediately after his resurrection, Mark tells us that he was accompanying them, working with them. So, the moment we have it in our minds that, you know, we just need to relax, stretch your bones, lazing about without working, there's a serious problem. Turn your Bibles to Nehemiah. Nehemiah is the book for Esther, Psalms, then Proverbs. So when you, if you can't find, just go to Psalms, then go back. So Psalms, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms. Psalms, Job. You say, oh, pastor, we know. You will find one person there that finds what I'm saying very important. So go to Psalms. And come back. Uh-huh, come back. Job's. Uh-huh. Esther. Uh-huh. Then you'll be there. So, Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. Okay, thank you, Holy Spirit. He says, Nehemiah chapter 4, I'm not going to go until we're there. Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 6. He says, of course, Nehemiah is building the walls. So build we the wall, and all the world was joined together unto the half thereof. For the people had a mind to what? To work. So, how were the walls built? The people had a mind to work. You know, I quite remember a vision I had some time back, and I saw a wall. I think I called a meeting and I told the church, I said that this was what I saw. We have to take it serious. Because a wall signifies the life of anything that is around. It will signify your life, it will signify the life of a church, the life of what you're doing. So the reasons why they were able to have a wall built in that day was because they had a mind to work. To work. People of God, you must start having a mind to work, to labor, to put your hands to anything that God has given to you. A mind to work. Don't let the day pass without being productive at any venture, at any space or place of your life. There must be an effort towards receiving a particular result every single day. Every single day. Every single day. And I'm going to talk about some work. You didn't see it in a sense, but I'm going to talk about the latter part of the teaching. But then, there must be a mind to work. And there are many things to work on. As a church, there are many things to work on. You could either say, oh, it's difficult, it's hard. But I tell you, you actually need to get on the go and get it working. You know, it's just that I feel very, I feel like my life is not covered that much. Because now I have like a lot of times people around. But, and I wouldn't want them to tell you what I do. But I work a lot. I don't know if those of me can attest that I work a lot. You may say, oh, no, he just comes in on a Sunday morning, comes to preach, whatever. Because that's my work. What is your work? What is your work? What are you supposed to be working on that you are not working on? And every time people have excuses for reasons why they don't work at what they have to work on, say, I work. Say that to yourself. Say, I work. Say, I'm a worker. Say, I know how to work. Tell yourself some more. Say, I'm going to work hard. So, the people are able to raise that wall because they had a mind to work. There's a mind to work. I saw, you know, laborers, 1 Corinthians, you know, we're also seeing people who are laboring towards building a wall. There were a particular group of laborers that I saw with my eyes. Nobody told me. Because they used to work alongside with my dad. And like 4 a.m., they are up. They are on the go. Those days, I remember very well. if my dad wanted to put up a house for someone, he just needed to bring 16 of them. I remember so well as a child, in 2 to 3 weeks, the thing will be finished. 4 a.m., they are at it. And, you know, they are swift, quick. Sometimes they don't even bath. Yeah, they bath maybe in the evening, but like to wake up to bath. What's that for? You're going to be carrying mortar around. Oh boy, your work doesn't call for that. You're not a modeler. Well, we should smell good. You should smell good when you pass by us. You are a Libra. You're supposed to be working. So you find them moving. Up and down. And, you know, because they had a mind to work, they had these songs that they were Adventists, because my dad was Adventist, that like when they get to work, you know, they can sing, one person responds from the other side, another responds from the other side, and then they are just like on it. So my mom, I remember, my mom loved them. So she said that, so there was a time they came to put up someone's house, and she was asking them that, this one bear a month and a half. They said, month what? They said, month what? They don't need a month to accomplish that. There's just 2 weeks, 3 weeks, they'll be done. 4 a.m. till the sun falls, 7 p.m. You find them working from time to time. Because they were walls that needed to be raised and buildings that needed to be erected. Can this be said of your life? Rather than you saying, oh, there's somebody who is supposed to do this for me. My father didn't leave an inheritance for me. That's why my life is like this. How can you be blaming your father? How old are you? Huh? You find him moving. So, there is a mind to work. There's a way the worker thinks. Is up and doing. Knows what the day is about. Has it figured out. He knows how to go about what he needs to do. At your workplaces, do you know what you have to do? Or you go there standing there, they always have to tell you, do this, do that, do this, go. Don't you know your work? Even sometimes at home, you find people who don't know how to work to keep the home what it's supposed to be like. And that's a very serious issue. If you are going to build good walls for your life, let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you. There is work on your hands. There is work on your hands. So they had a mind to work. Today in the church, when we come to church, we have a mind to be blessed. That's why when you get into the service and workers are not working, you say, where is the speaker? Where is the speaker? Where were you? Before the service. The sound. Ask the person sitting there, are you the one they are talking about? A mind to be blessed. That's all they want. Yeah, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. I want to be blessed. I should be blessed. I would be blessed. I am blessed. Until it's time to work. Until it's time to work. A mind to receive from God. Mind to be encouraged. Every day we meet, you say, I need encouragement. Pastor, can you encourage me? So many people have interesting minds. A mind to feel good. Your walls are going to be built with labor. And I'm talking about intentional, intelligent, productive labor. Labor. You know, coming to think about it, everything, absolutely everything we enjoy is as a result of someone's work. Work is foundational. Putting efforts is foundational. Look at the chair you're sitting on. That's someone's work. Your clothes, someone's work. The air you're breathing, of course, that's God's work in His creation. The sun, the moon, the stars, the apples, oranges, everything, fruits, food. God's work. It's amazing how we're surrounded with everything work, but we do not think that we have to work hard. Okay. Pastor, no, my sins are forgiven. Someone's work. 2,000 years ago, if you were there, you would see the work. Oh, I'm God's prized possession. Someone's work. Jesus is work. How about man-made things? Your phone, someone's work. You see, you enjoy work. You, unknown to you, you enjoy work. Because all you have around you is someone's work. The glasses you're all, many, a number of you are wearing, someone's work. The wigs you buy, someone's work. Someone's work. Or you don't think it's someone's work. Someone's work. Some of you, I'm sure there's somebody here, you have a wig that is very dangerous. They cut the person's hair because synthetic or whatever. They put it nice. They, someone's wig. At least you have to eat to grow the hair, or you have to have hair to grow. Someone's wig. Then yours, you just pick it. Wow, that's a nice wig. That's someone's wig. There are even people who work to revamp and re-whatever wigs. Work. So, Slay Queen, all you have on you is work. But you don't work. The shirt you are wearing, work. Trousers you are wearing, work. Shoe, work. Jewelry, work. Everything, work. Pen, work. Book, work. In fact, the Bible you are reading, someone's work. Dangerous work. Everything. Tell me. You say, okay, my hair is mine. But somebody worked on your hair. Somebody worked on your hair. You went to sin and they barbed your hair. Work. Everything about you is work. But you, why are you not wanting to work? If everybody wanted it soft, would you have it the way you have it now? If every ministry just said, oh, what will happen? The people will come. would they have what they have? Even Jesus, at a point in time, they found out, where are you going? He says, I do the work of him that sent me. I'm working. Because it's day. This is the time where I have to work. Night is coming where no one can work. I hope we together as a church are going to be seeing the need and the necessity of work. And this should reflect in our individual lives. So things don't just appear. That's why when you really work for money, you know, you really work for it, you want to have genuine reasons to give out money. Many of you, because your parents are the ones that sends you the money. But when you started working, you see? I've seen that it's different. It's pretty different. It's pretty different. You want to understand, like, what's the situation? Because you work for it? You have some value on it? You know, some, I have, you know, a number of people, you know, they're, we need to pay this person's school fees, we need to pay that person's school fees, we need to pay this person's school fees, we need to pay that. So I just said, show me their results, show me their work. We'll know which to help. Because there has to be work. You know, I don't mind giving out money to anyone and knowing that the money is used well. It's more fulfilling than for you to pay. Then we have to now pay. We have to pay re-year. Say, oh. Don't worry. You are changing from today. All the mistakes, you forget about it. But from today, you are changing. What? What? How many of us are going to take our academics pretty much seriously from hence? Evangelism. Don't let anyone pity you. Say, you work too much. He said, hey, when I show you, next week, I'll show you. Say, hey, just allow me work. Allow me do my work. And don't work tiring. Don't say, you know, there's only going to work small. I'm tired. That mindset, it should begin to change from today. Because you're going to see the value of work. And you're going to appreciate being a worker. So everything that you enjoy is work from start to finish. I believe our minds are radically changing concerning work. You know, there are lifestyles that you will have to work on. There's going to be a, you know, an effort to have a desired result in achieving something. Probably some habits that you have to work on. Don't say, I cannot work on it. You know, I was telling someone, I had a hectic schedule while I was working in the pharmacy. I used to work close to 12 hours. And, you know, that 12 hours was not getting the luxury to sit down. Like you sit down for 1 hour, 2 hours, then you get up and you go again for another hour, 1 hour. No, standing throughout. You are on your feet throughout. And at that time, I was still running the ministry. I was still leading them in all night. Sometimes I moved right into an all night. Because there was a mind to work. There was a mind to work. There was a mind to make sure that every aspect of my life, there was a desired result in that area. My first 2 weeks of work, I remember taking a picture of all the drugs, going back home, trying to read on them. Rather than say, oh, I was already a pharmacist, I don't need to have anything. I had to put in some work. Things I didn't know, I had to write them, I had small pamphlets, writing things down, trying to flip, trying to check if that was it, trying to just make sure that whatever it is that I was doing was the right thing to do. Rather than just handle it anyhow, you just get anyhow. Say, hey, sorry, I didn't know it's not giving to pregnant women. But the person is pregnant. You just killed someone's baby. And that's what happens when we are negligent concerning work. That is what happens. I don't know what area of field you are. But there must be a strong work ethic. Are you listening to me? God appreciates this. He appreciates it. And when you work, you're going to be able to stand before diligent people. Most of all, who is lazy? You can't work. Even ministry, primary, you can't go out and walk and pick people, teach them. You can't have one discipleship session after the other, just before your class. You can't get up and walk out of your hostel, say, I'm going to preach, I'm going to teach. There's something wrong. There's something seriously wrong if you're that person. But then, like I said, it's changing. We're going to see that in the subsequent, maybe next week. You can open your mouth. Some people can't even open their mouths to pray. Or like, open your mouth and pray. Me. Because it's work. It's work. And rather you find these people channeling their strength to, you know, empty ventures and, you know, wasteful things. Give them gist. They'll gist for you. Give them work. There's nothing to show. So we're going to start to module. I told you, this attitude is of God. And as we see it, we'll see how important it is. How important it is. Don't be somebody says, you know, I just need 12 hours of sleep every day. 12 hours? At your age, you'd have slept half of your life out by a certain age. Work. So as we walk out, we'll just say, we are God's workmen. We know how to work. We are not afraid of work. Anything work, give it to us. We can work. You know, one time I told someone, I said, I think you need to work on your looks. Because it's work. You know, it's easier to just have a slipper, you just And then you are gone. Right? You didn't get my joke. Like, this means that you just woke up. So you just, bah. You know, they wear it like this. And those ones, you don't even need to, like, bend to put it in. How many of us have sandals like that? We love them. The ladies. You wear them everywhere. To church. To mocks. Sorry. That was quite an intentional joke. Huh? You wear it, like, when I say anywhere, anywhere. You know, at the mocks, you see. At the mocks, you need to, like, when they are going to pray, they remove their slippers, right? So, like, it's easier. When they just say, they give their sound. Bag, you like Ghana must go. Because it's not complicated. You just, and then you are gone. You don't want to put in work on anything. Huh? Wake up early. Wake up early. You know, the guy say, oh, pastor, you know, we take 5 minutes to dress. It's true. It's true, guys. 5 minutes now. Everything. They just do this now. Because of their makeup. But if you have a hair like somebody in the congregation, when you wake up, you have to comb. See, mine, when I do 1, 2, 3, 4. you don't need anything. So work. You have to start to work, home. Don't be afraid of work. You know, some people can't learn anything. They can't learn anything. Because they can't work to learn something. And it's very bad. It takes a lot of work to look even maybe good. As a lady. Some of you will remove your wigs here. The underwork. Underwork. Because there's no way. You can't comb your hair. A young girl, 20 what years. You can't get up and comb your hair and let it be fluffy. Huh? You can't do that. Because you don't want to work. There's no work. Like, anything work you don't want. Like, work. Ministry work. No. Pastor, it's not my own. Whose own is it? Mine? Everybody's own. So we're going to be workers. Intentional. Even heels you can't wear. Because it is work. You look at those who say, I don't like heels. No, it's not true. There's a work that is required to wear that. I'm telling you that work affects everything. It's more easier to just than to wear something that is quite tall, long, but a number of inches. And then you now have to, at every step, calculate your movement. Every step you need to calculate. Move. Move intelligently. You see, what I'm saying is, it sounds funny, like I said, I'm going to be laying foundations, but it may be the reason or the reason why somebody chooses you. You'll be laughing. So you may not know. It's true. He said, as I'm already chosen. Wait and see. You understand what I'm saying? I don't need to talk much. When you see a competitor that puts in some more work, you should ask your mothers. You know, I read a funny story. You know, there was a story I read. I loved, there's a woman who said, she spoke about all the women who wake up early to prepare, like, food for their husbands. She spoke against it, derogatively, spoke against it. Then, she said she will not do. She will not do. She was married, so she said, oh, she will not do. Her husband is a laughing. So, the husband now went out, came back, and they were having a conversation. So she asked the husband, oh, how do you eat in the morning? He said, oh, my secretary brings a canteen. She adds two spoons. So she brings her spoon and her boss's spoon. And the wife said, what did you say? Two spoons. She said, since that day, 4 a.m., she's up. I laughed, no work. So, on a more serious note, what I'm talking to you about is very serious. And I want you to take what I'm saying seriously. There is work in everything, even in handling relationships. You know, even as a man of God, I see the diplomacy that is required to handle a relationship higher than myself. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. Because you can't call at any time. I mean, they might say, oh, call at any time, but you shouldn't call at any time. Birthdays, you have to remember. You just can't say, I forgot. There are some birthdays you can't forget. You forget, you are dead. That's work at keeping the relationship. You know, you can't just sit in front of them and be talking. No, it's work to know when to talk and when not to talk. So even building healthy relationships, it takes a lot of work. It takes work. It takes work. I knew that it was work when I started writing out names of people I should call on my table. It's there right now. It's work. But if you don't call, it's going to be like you're not concerned about it. That is work. So people who don't like to work at anything, they can't work at anything. They can build good walls of their lives. I was going to see a great man of God somewhere, sometime. And he said, oh, meet me here. I traveled several hours. I got there. And I called, said, oh, I've just moved 3 hours away. Can you meet? I said, yes, please. I'm meeting you over there right now. That's work. Rather than saying that, oh, you know, you told me to wait for you here. I mean, what is so special about you? It's work. It's work. There's work all around you. Are you listening? In the work of the ministry, it is work. Don't be happy just being somebody who comes to church. There's something to do. There's something to do. You know, talking is like driving a communication. Even, let me go back to relationships. Driving a communication is work. Do you know that? Yes, like driving a communication and knowing how to navigate talking is work. But lazy people cannot do it. That's why lazy people cannot keep good relationships. So what I'm trying to say is that there is an effort that is required in everything. Are you listening? There's something that must be done. When you work with a boss, don't say that they require too much of you. That's your work. They require that of you. It's to communicate frequently, to give them feedbacks, give them what's going on, and it's work. You find somebody who you employ who cannot do that, you're not helping the work. I want us to have strong work ethics in the ministry and in everywhere we find ourselves. The ladies put in some work. Are you listening? Yes. It's work. Everything is work. It doesn't just happen. Some of you have money, but how to get up and go to the seamstress or have to take your own measurements? 2 years will pass. You have money, but you can't buy clothes. Because it's work to go and buy clothes. The red, green, yellow, indigo, purple, five of them, that's what you have all your life. You wear it in successions. It's work to save. It's work to save. It's easier to just get everything coming and spend everything throughout. That's easy to do. You blow your friend some, you take some, you use some at somewhere, you go here, go there. But then you sit there and say, this is for the Lord, this is for my house, this is for my clothes, this is for saving. It's work. I need you to revise your thoughts about what we have in conversations. Are you listening? Your job, even your physical appearance, your relationships, the ministry. So important. Your nails, just look at your nails. You know whether you are. Peep, peep, peep. Your hair. Can you see that work relates to your life, that war relates to it? Don't let anyone tell you work too much. Don't let anyone tell you handle multiple things at a time too much. Don't let anyone tell you go to class too much. Don't let anyone tell you you're saving too much. Don't let anyone tell you you put a lot into your relationships too much. It's too much in the ministry. Don't let anyone tell you. Before I let you go, there's nothing like too much prayer. Too much study. Too much church. Too much evangelism. Too much fervency or zeal. There's nothing like that. So as we look at the concept of work today, which is actually my emphasis, is to help us build a foundation around the concept of work, having a right mind around the concept of work. Next week, we're going to be looking at God and His work. And that should help us so much to be able to build strongly in family. I want you to begin to resist any lethargy, anything that makes you sleep, be down, slow. You know, there are even some people who cannot mentally think. The moment you try to stress their thoughts, they say, no, I'm not going. You can't even give a direction, like direct me to Lagos. You say, it's just be going. Mentally just lazy. No work. And ask the next person you see. No. If I say 9 times 6 right now, you just say, no. Huh? 9 times 7. You stand before the waiter, they tell you, 23 plus 6 plus 7. You say, hey, get the calculator. No. No. You're too young for such, Are you listening? Hey, get it. Be able to read a book. Be able to sit down and do something highly productive. Now wrap up with this. As a church, we are going to make sure we have a strong work ethic. Because our God is a God that works. He worked then. He's working now. And he's doing it through us today. So no room for laziness. But you see, the guys help us move the things. A strong work ethic. They climb up. Few minutes they are done. Because they love to work. I want you to begin to module this in your life. Are you listening? Don't handle things wrong. When you're giving documents to handle, things to handle. Don't just handle them. Where are they? I can't find them. Where are they? You should be able to find them. In the ministry, when you're giving people to oversee and to take care of, don't let us come back and find that we can't find them. You must be good stewards of everything that is put in your care. Work on your ministries in songs or psalms. Work on your play. Work on your operations. Work on everything that needs to be worked on. You say, in this month, in this quarter, I have this to achieve and I'm going to work at it. And don't forget what I told you. God is going to be working together with you, laboring together with you for the furtherance of his cause. So in the name of Jesus, every sense of lethargy, lack of enthusiasm, lack of strength, right now, is lifted. Is lifted. Is lifted. Begin to pray in the spirit. Is lifted. Pray in the spirit. Become better at everything. Pray in the spirit.